Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at the preamble to our Constitution. It says, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, listen, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." The blessings of liberty. Does that include, ladies and gentlemen, the forced mask wearing? Does that include the forced sequestering in your home? Does that include the forced closings of our businesses? Does that include the forced vaccination that's on the horizon? In fact, I am saddened to understand that through our National Health Institute and through the CDC, they're talking about utilizing the National Guard and our military to make sure that we have speedy deliverance of the vaccinations on a national basis. Does that mean that at some point in time, after a willy-nilly thrown together vaccination, if I can use that term, will be then dispatched through military vehicles, driving through neighborhoods and ringing the doorbells and forcing you to be injected with a vaccination? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that vaccination that's on the way, we'll talk about it further in this broadcast by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And out of the 9 pharmaceutical houses it's been pushing to be part of the vaccination procedure and protocol, the overwhelming majority of those are either owned or controlled by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And they're controlled by the financial donations it's made for that very purpose. And so any vaccination that's developed, that is the protocol that will ultimately be used, can be founded in the and rooted in Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and or the Bill Gates contributions for it to be developed. And yet he doesn't even wear a white jacket. I'm concerned about where we're going, ladies and gentlemen, with that. But we need to understand that our liberty is imperiled, and if that liberty is destroyed, we will no longer be free to worship. Christians will have to go underground, just as in China, even in China, where they're bulldozing churches, tearing down crosses, burning Bibles, burning hymn books, and prosecuting, persecuting, and are making to disappear anybody that's called a Christian, anybody that is a pastor in particular. In fact, here's an article. Is the coronavirus the worst virus in the history of medicine? No, not at all. It's not even close, this writer says. And he goes on to talk about it. San Diego City Council member Jennifer Campbell is expressing her frustration with the local residents' resistance to outdoor mask wearing and social distancing, even saying that the county sheriff should be arresting them. This is the worst virus in the history of medicine, she said. A physician supposedly exclaimed in the Tuesday press conference at the Ocean Beach, California. But that claim isn't even close to being true, no matter how you slice it or dice it, this article says. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please. Hello? Hello? I believe we lost our caller. Ladies and gentlemen, the major thing that I want us to understand is that we are dealing with a weaponization of the COVID-19 that is causing major catastrophic response and results in the United States of America. And at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, while the thuggery is taking place on the streets and the folks are dying, the business is being burned and closed and looted and violence taking place, it's being allowed because the socialist, Marxist, anarchist have the goal of overthrowing the constitutional republic called the United States of America. But it's all predicated, ladies and gentlemen, by the left that's saying that we need to stay shut down, that we need to keep the businesses closed, we need to wear masks, and ultimately need to accept the vaccinations because the false, phony data that's being fed to us as American citizens by the Communist Network News and the hysteria that's being sown. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Fox 35 investigates. Florida Department of Health says some labs have not reported any negative. Listen to this. Some labs in the state of Florida have not reported any negative COVID-19 results. The article reads, the Florida Department of Health released its daily coronavirus testing report showing its statewide positivity rate of 11%. But Fox 35 quickly noticed that some shocking positivity rates. Orlando, Florida, Dateline. After Fox 35 News noticed errors in the state's report on positivity rates, the Florida Department of Health said that some laboratories have not been reporting negative tests at all in the entire state. Countless labs have reported a 100% positivity rate, which means every single person tested was positive. Other labs have high positivity rates. Fox 35 News found that the testing sites, like one local care report, that 83 people were tested, and all 83 tested positive. The NCF, Diagnostics in Alachua County, reported 88% of the tests were positive. The report showed the Orlando Health had 98% positive rates. However, when Fox 35 News contacted the hospital, they confirmed errors in the report. Listen, Orlando Health positivity rate is only 9.4%, not 98%, as they reported to the news and the news reported to We the People. We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, some unusual things take place in America. And I'm concerned because it seems as though We the People are sitting back and simply inculcating what is said as truth. And the overwhelming majority of what we're told is not truth. In fact, I'm looking at an article, and in the article it says, the case for masks, school closings, and social isolation just collapsed. Let me read you the preamble to that statement that was by an individual first named Theodore, and it's Darrell Monthy. I think I'm pronouncing the name or slaughtering the name. The purpose of communist propaganda was not to persuade or convince nor to inform, but to humiliate. And therefore, the less it corresponded to reality, the better. When people are forced to remain silent, when they are being told the most obvious lies, or even worse than that, they are forced to repeat the lies themselves, they lose once and for all their sense of probity. The assent to obvious lies is in some small way to become evil oneself. One standing to resist anything is thus eroded and even destroyed. A society of emasculated liars is easy to control. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the article is a massive article. I'll read you one or two brief paragraphs of it to set the stage of where we are headed. It says, the Annals of Internal Medicine just published a comprehensive new study on how contagious COVID-19 virus is, and I'm sorry to report that the case for the number of popular new practices that seems to have filled some spiritual need of a lot of Americans have so self-abased just completely collapsed. The list of practices no longer having any conceivable rationale includes. Likewise, for any other humiliating rituals states and local officials plan to forcibly compel to keep you safe from the scourge of COVID-19, their own sense of self-worth precludes participating in it. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and his buddies pushing the propaganda campaign that would have made our old communist enemies in Soviet Union rise up and applaud in admiration how perfectly well the virus they've trained most of the public to obsessively fear is basically harmless unless you're old and are seriously ill with underlying morbidities. Does anyone really believe they, speaking of Big Brother, cares for the lives of us? Besides which, as the latest edition of the Trump COVID-19 team, Dr. Scott Atlas pointed out way back in April, the virus isn't going away till a sufficient number of us become immune to deprive it of the carriers it need to reach the rest of us. And he goes on to talk about the herd immunity mentality, and that we've not done, ladies and gentlemen, because we've shut it down. We've encased it in homes and in communities rather than allow it to run loose and thus set us free. South Dakota is a good example of that. They've not shut down. They've not required the people to wear a mask. They've not done anything about any tracing of anybody that might have come in contact with others. And the number with COVID-19 is minuscule, if any, and yet our other states have not followed that example, and we're suffering the consequences. This article says, given that any test is going to generate a significant number of false positives, there's a good chance that one person didn't even really have it to begin with. And remember, we're talking about people who are close in contact with each other. Almost a third of the subjects in the study were in the same household as the infected party. But it gets better. Even people with symptoms turn out not to be very contagious at all. For example, mild symptoms, 19 of 576, 3.3%, were close contact, wound up being infected. Hear that number? Moderate symptoms, only 82 out of 1,469, that's 5.6%, had any close contact with others that wound up being infected. Severe symptoms, only 5 of 155, that's 3.2%, who had close contact, wound up being infected. Critical symptoms, 11 out of 105, that's 10.5% who came in close contact, wound up being infected. All that stuff, this article says, all that stuff we're told about how super contagious COVID-19 is, was just not so at all. The first official U.S. case of COVID-19 wasn't diagnosed until she developed pneumonia in the weeks after returning from China. And it goes on to talk about the first cases and how it was diagnosed and how it came about, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need to understand is that we're on the fast track with Big Brother watching and Big Brother bringing about more and more and more restraints and constraints on we the people that are supposed to be a free people. Going back to the preamble to our Constitution, to provide a common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Where is that liberty if we're being controlled by the government of any county, any city, any state, any of those apparatuses in the United States of America? Ladies and gentlemen, now with the pandemic upon us, as it is called, with the fright and hysteria taking place, and in the midst of the election, we're about 70 days, ladies and gentlemen, away from the control of our citizens. And that control seems to be intensifying as we get closer and closer to the election. What I'm saying is, ladies and gentlemen, we're about 70 days away from the presidential election, and there seems to be a tightening of the controls and the greater hysteria being spun up by Nancy Pelosi and the left and the wing of the Democratic Socialist Marxist Communist Party called the Communist Network News. It's not news, ladies and gentlemen. They simply, if you listen to those channels of fake news, as I call them, and I didn't originate it, of course, but as you listen to those channels, you find out they evidently call each other each morning or send out by email the talking points, and they're saying the same thing with a little different emphasis on the statements that they're making. But we're about 70 days away from the election, and these things are intensifying. There's a battle today over forced mask wearing and the push to pass laws that will future force vaccinations as the left lurches forward with a fast-track vaccination. There's two questions that need to be asked, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll deal with the answer to these two questions in the balance of our broadcast today. Is it constitutional to force healthy citizens to wear masks? Secondly, is it constitutional to even be considered legal for the government to force citizens to be vaccinated? Two questions. Is it constitutional to force the citizens, we the people, the free people, to wear masks? Is it constitutional to force the citizens to be vaccinated? Those are the two questions we need to deal with and answer directly and to answer correctly and not to allow us to become sheeple rather than people making a determination that we're going to remain free as Americans. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go read the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Hello. Youngblood. This is Ginger Saud.
Hey, Ginger. God bless you. Congratulations on that wonderful race being won.
Well, thank you so much. And the main purpose of my call was to say thank you to you for having me on the program a couple of times. And thank you to your audience for responding. I'm sure a lot of them did. And I appreciate that. And I just look forward to working with all our conservative Christian folks, and just thank you so much. That's the main thing I wanted to say today. And the other thing I would say is we need help in getting Christians registered. We need help in getting Christians registered to vote. We only have until October the 5th. I'm reaching out to churches and pastors who would be willing to, number one, either let us come to their church and do registration, or number two, I can send them a link that they can share with their people and they can go online and vote. No strings attached to that. The pastor would be in charge of sending it to his people. And so we're just trying very hard to get our people registered. If you paid attention to this election just passed, we have a serious turnout problem in the Republican voting registration.
Absolutely. And if you're making that as a motion, I second the motion. Now, Ginger, if you would be kind enough to tell our listeners how they can reach you, how they can become involved. And you've already stated the seriousness of that, and I can amplify that further by reminding our listeners that 31 million Christians did not vote in the 2016 election. If that happens in 2020, we will wind up having a communist, socialist, Marxist, BLM dictator form of government through Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So, Ginger, take a moment. Feel free to do so and share with our listening audience how they can reach you, what they need to do, how they can come on board. And may I second the motion, as I said, to say to our listeners, we need to be registered to vote. I tell people from the pulpit and in private conversation, if you're not registered to vote, don't let me hear you belly aching about anything. So tell our listeners how they can become involved, Ginger.
Well, number one, if you attend a church, you can talk to your pastor and you can reach me. I'm going to give you my email on the air. And it is my name, gingersoud@comcast.net. If you would email me at that address, give me your name, and I'll have your email address. Give me your church you attend. And let me know that you heard this request on Dr. Youngblood's program, so I'll connect the dots. But anyone who would do that, help me connect with their church and their pastor to do registration or send them a way that they can register online. And I would ask every listener to take responsibility for finding the individuals who may be in your family, in your sphere of influence, your garden club or whatever club you're a member of, and your church that are not registered, and take responsibility to get them registered. That's our plea.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful plea. Give that email address one more time, Ginger.
Okay, it's Ginger Soud. I'll spell it GINGERS, like Sam, OUD, Ginger Soud, @comcast.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you to get in touch with Ginger. Set it up in your church. Go to your pastor. Ask him to allow this to be done. It could be done on a Wednesday. It could be done on any day of the week. It could be done on a weekend or on a Saturday. But it is vital. I can't emphasize enough the need for Christians in particular. I call it Christians, conservatives, and patriots. We need to be registered to vote. We need to cast our ballots. We need to have the revolution at the ballot box, and that's what's going to be needed. And then secondly, along with that, Ginger, I believe we could jointly urge our listeners to pray for this election, pray for our president, pray for his safety, pray for the victory that's needed, and pray that God will not allow the election to be stolen by the mail-in voting that's now underway across America being pushed by the Democratic Party.
That's correct, Dr. Youngblood. I know numerous people right now who have received text messages from an organization called SEIU, which is a liberal Democrat union group. They are sending this all over Florida. If you get one of those, do not respond. Delete it. Unsubscribe, do whatever you have to do. That is not a good organization. We do not want people to register. What they're asking you to do is go online and request. This is going to people who are already registered. They're asking you to go online and request an absentee ballot and let it be sent to you in the mail. If you want an absentee ballot, all you have to do is contact the Supervisor of Elections office here in Duval County. Mike Hogan is the supervisor. They will send you an absentee ballot. And don't be confused on the two things, absentee ballot versus mail-in voting. They've started calling absentee ballots now mail-in voting, but the other side's definition of mail-in voting is very, very different. That is, everybody would be mailed something to whereby they could vote, but there's no controls in this. It is absolutely Katie bar the door. Anybody could take this and vote. There's no way to get it back properly. There's just no controls over their version of mail-in voting. So go to the supervisor's office, request a ballot if you want to vote by mail, and it will be very easy. But don't respond to these liberal groups that are contacting our people.
Yes, very good. Ginger, thank you so much for your input. Thank you for your call. And again, congratulations on that win. God did it. I'm thankful for it. We're looking forward to good things coming out of it. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you and everybody in the audience. Take care.
Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a very serious thing that we're talking about, and that is being registered to vote. That is casting your vote on Election Day or during the early voting when that starts, but you need to be registered. There's a deadline for that. And so contact Ginger, set up something in your church for your organization, whatever organization you're attached to and involved in, to get people registered to vote so that we can see God's hand at work and find success in it. Ladies and gentlemen, during the course of the future months, we're going to find where there's a push for the forced vaccination. Here's an article that says, no religious exemption, new push for mandatory COVID vaccinations. Three university professors, two of whom are physicians, are calling for the COVID-19 vaccinations that they be mandatory and with no allowance for religious objections. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, today, with some of the vaccinations that's required for children as they start to school, you can have a religious objection, and in most states that religious objection is recognized, and you're not be forced to have your child vaccinated or to accept a vaccination that you're not willing to accept as parents. But now there's some push across America that the laws be set up so that it be forced. Here's the further article statement. The case, Western Reserve University scholars writing in USA Today advised the incentives to be imposed to ensure compliance. Private businesses could refuse to employ or serve unvaccinated individuals, the professors proposed. Schools could refuse to allow immunized children to attend classes. Public and commercial transit companies, airlines, trains, buses could exclude anyone who refuses to be vaccinated. Public and private auditoriums could refuse to require and could refuse to allow without any evidence of being free of COVID-19 to enter the building. Dr. Michael Landrum, Maxwell Millen, and Stuart Younger acknowledged the measures might seem draconian and would be costly, but ensuring universal vaccinations is negligible sacrifice compared with the cost, deaths, and the social upheaval and a sustained pandemic is having on our country. Simply put, getting vaccinated is going to be a patriotic duty in the future. This article concludes by saying, do not honor religious objections at all in any state. Do not allow objections for personal preferences which violate social contact or your social contract with others, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a push that's being heavily carried out now across America with states and communities and with the organized pushers of the vaccine to force every human being in America to be vaccinated. So the question is it constitutional to force that? The answer is unequivocally no. Even though, ladies and gentlemen, we've had some highly esteemed, highly recognized constitutionalists that say, as Alan Dershowitz said several months back, he said, yes, the government can force you to be vaccinated. Yes, the government has the authority to force you to let them stab the needle in your arm and be vaccinated for the betterment of all that it might keep the health in our neighborhood and our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply an ethical statement. It is an unconstitutional belief, and other constitutional attorneys have said no, that is not the case, that you should not be forced to do so. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a mechanism. Hear me, they will institute a mechanism by which that can force you to be vaccinated. And that's what I'm concerned about. That's my major concern. That vaccination and face mask is the looming force upon the people in America today that will totally radically change who we are as free people in America. Here's an article that says, people wearing face masks say they're getting funny looks despite government's encouragement to wear them. Here's another article, craziest mask mandate yet. These employees have to wear masks while teleconferencing alone and at home. This massive article, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about there is a push to even require those that are having teleconferences by Zoom, having business meetings by Zoom, to have a face mask on even while at home. This article says Zoom meetings and masks have become ubiquitous to the land of the new normal. the thing is, the two of them are generally mutually exclusive. We work in a Zoom meeting so that we can stay away from the situation that might require a mask. Meanwhile, masks are being required even if you're enclosed and not in a public space with other people, usually not the kind of venue where you'd be teleconferencing. The article says Zoom meetings and other ones that say situations which require a mask, there wouldn't be just a lack of overlap. The two circles would be 6 feet apart, and so the social distancing guidelines could be met. Don't tell that to the head of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, who've vaulted past the impressive field of contenders to become the most absurd bureaucrats in the entire nation to require that. They're requiring that the people, even in teleconferencing, to wear a mask because they say they want to set the stage for others to see. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says Sweden's top epidemiologists say just wearing face masks could be very dangerous. And it goes on to talk about the danger of wearing a face mask if you are not wearing it properly or if it is not the proper material to be utilized for the face mask. Here's another article. Now, government orders workers to wear face masks even when home alone. Ladies and gentlemen, in Wisconsin, they're requiring the face mask to be worn. Picture this. They're saying that even if you're home, you're sitting in your family room, living room, watching television, that they're going to require that you wear the mask. And I want to ask the question, perhaps you would not think of it, how would they determine that? How would it be ascertained? Perhaps they will have Big Brother watching to make sure, or somebody to come by your door at an inopportune time and want to check and see if you're wearing the mask. Medical experts, this article says, say there's no need for a mask at home while alone, but they can help if someone with COVID-19 happens to be in your home. I understand that. But what they're saying is you're going to be mandatory required to wear the mask. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully as we wrap up this broadcast today. We'll cover it other times on facing the issues. But ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to taking the vaccine, listen carefully. They're going to require every human being to accept the vaccination or your insurance will no longer be valid. You cannot go to your physician without showing that you've been vaccinated. You cannot enter the emergency room of the hospital without proving that you've been vaccinated. It will be a universal requirement or you will simply be left to die without any medical care, medical attention, or hospitalization because it will be enforced on that basis. It's bad enough to be forcing now the mask wearing, but the forcing of the vaccination will come through the business agenda. I'm not letting you and their business, but the most important and the most deadly, the most dire would be where your medical physicians, your medical people will not give you any medical care unless you are vaccinated. Ladies and gentlemen, it's worthy of our prayer, our serious asking God to intervene in this election. Thank you for joining on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.